Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 81 of The Brunch and Judge.
Nothing happened at 81.
No, got nothing. But this should be a good episode, guys. We are going to be talking about scariest shit ever. And because the gods decide to continue to curse us, it of course is nighttime. So when my lights turn off and I scream, it's fine. It's fine. It is a scary one tonight, so hang with us.
Right.
But before we get into the scary scaries, Claire, what are you
Yes.
judging this week?
Okay. I'm judging some of the conspiracy theories surrounding the wildfires in Hawaii. I've been hearing some of this and I'm just like,
There are
what?
conspiracy theories like about how the fire
Yeah.
started, or
All of it. Like,
I mean,
so
cool.
apparently back in, what was it? It was earlier this year, like 6 months ago, six, 7-ish months ago, there were like these green laser beams that came out of the sky over Hawaii.
Aliens.
Well, and they're also saying government. It was like preemptive.
Government aliens.
Yes, government aliens. So they're saying that that was like preemptive and it was like the government testing stuff. So they're surmising there's people out there saying that like the government started these wildfires. Shock, surprise. But then they're also saying, how can wildfires start after they just fucking had a hurricane and everything was wet? That's another thing. There's this whole thing about how they just had all these hurricanes, or this big hurricane hit the island, and then everything lit on fire. And then there's also this thing where it's like, how did some of these houses burn down, but these celebrities' houses did not burn? And then there are important buildings and statues and shit that are like important to their culture that also didn't burn. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I was like, what is going on? So it's like this fire knew where to burn. I don't know.
I
It's just
mean,
like,
okay.
I'm like,
Perhaps
what
they
is
had
happening?
some better. I mean, because as someone who has lived in the land of the wildfire hellhole, there are some things you can do to help decrease the chances of it burning your stuff down, even if it gets really close.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean it's going to work every time or anything.
Right.
But also, it's not like they didn't have firefighters in places. They just couldn't be everywhere. So
Right.
I don't
Right.
know what kind of decisions they make, but like I
Yes.
assume it's, you know.
I mean, it was just all kinds of wild stuff that I've seen, and I'm just
That's
like, what
insane. I'm
is
sorry. I
this?
also love that it's, well, the government was testing something and they fucked up. So
Right.
what they did is they set everything on fire. And then
Yes.
they were just like,
But it's all kinds of wild stuff. However, I also want to judge these fuckers who are coming in and all of a sudden wanting to buy a property out from under these people who lost their homes. And those people are assholes and I do not like them.
And I was glad to hear that the governor of Hawaii was
Same.
actively being like, we're going to do everything we can to avoid this. We're not going to let this happen.
Right.
But I was like, what are you going to do for people who, like, they're poor? Their land is the only thing of value that they have left at this point. It's not like, I understood that most of those houses weren't insured because they'd been paid off and you just stop insuring it at that point, which is like, what? That's a thing
Right.
that I didn't realize that was a thing you could do. By the way, I thought you had to have house insurance, but I don't know. Don't know things. So like I don't know what's gonna happen, but it super sucks. Like,
Yes, it does.
I mean, that sounds really flippant, but like I can't fathom how you recover, because it's not like one small area or one tiny
Right.
town. Like it's all sand and foot
Well, that was
conspiracies.
another thing, is that they were, another of the things was like they were lying about the amount of people who died, like they were trying to cover up.
They're
And
always
I'm
lying
like,
about that.
I know, right?
Every time anything happens, well, they're lying. Why?
That more people were dying and they didn't want it to make it seem as a big deal as what it wound up being. And I'm just like, I feel like there's no way you could hide that.
No, I mean, because it's there, it's calling around. I mean, you just call around all the places. How it's
Right.
public information, like they don't have any reason to. I don't know.
Right.
I just feel like the level of conspiracy that people claim is going on is at such a high level that requires so many people to be in on it and like
Right.
not rat it out that I'm like, guys, like seriously, no one. I mean, we all, every single one of us, tell a secret we weren't supposed to.
Right.
And then we're like, I probably shouldn't say anything, but you did it
Right.
anyway. And that's the reality, is that we all do that. So there's no way.
It's just, yeah, it was just all these crazy things. Go look on TikTok. It's bananas. There's so many.
Yeah, that's not my TikTok. For some reason, TikTok has decided that I like to watch random snippets of Say Yes to the Dress episodes.
What?
I don't know. I didn't even know it was a thing.
That is
And
bizarre.
I don't know how it happened. I'm not sure what it is. But like a random one bit of Say Yes to the Dress comes on and I'm staring at it and I'm like, it's like mid story. And I'm like, what the fuck? And so like I'm vaguely watching it and I'm like, duh, okay, I remember this show. I used to, watch
Right,
random
yeah.
episodes. It's been a minute. And so I guess because I sat and watched that whole one. And then went into,
Now,
it was my fault because that it wasn't the end, it was the middle. And I was like, well, now I need to know. I'm sort of invested, I guess. So
you're
then I
like, I need
click
to know
in
what
to go
happens.
see that next video. I see the bit I need to see. I'm like, okay, good, there it is. Because it was like a super toxic mother, and I just had to know. Had to
Yeah.
know. Didn't
Those
give
are
a
the
shit. Like,
ones.
I don't give a shit what dress you pick. You pick whatever makes you happy, hon. It means nothing to me. The toxic mom thing, I'm going, oh my God, are you gonna like
You're like,
cry?
you're
Is
like,
it
I'm
like your
here for the
wedding ruined?
drama.
I mean,
Yeah.
so then I did that, and that just sealed my fate because I get them all the time, and I'm like, I don't really care if she chooses the mermaid or the Princess Floey, or if she decides to picture and get cap sleeves. I don't care,
You're like, whatever,
honestly.
man.
It's fun. I do. I mean, it is a weird thing. I probably get a lot of wedding dress advertisements because I'll see something and I'll stop and look because I'm always so fascinated at like how they from like my the first wedding I was in, I was 13, like my sister's wedding dress, like how it went from like her wedding dress to like where it is, and it keeps like now it's basically nudity is what people are going for. There's like a weird, like you can see like the boning. And then it's
Right.
like a mesh or like the or not or like a lace or something. You can like see her flesh, and I'm going, I don't think I want to wear something that I might wear in the bedroom on my wedding day. Like it just is so bizarre. So, it's not wrong. Fascinated by wedding dresses, don't actually care which one they pick. So, there it
But
is.
yeah, go check out TikTok. Type in like Hawaii fire conspiracies. Yeah,
Yes.
it's wild. It's the Wild West out there, guys.
I'm
Stuff
afraid
is
to do that, but
flying.
I
I
also
mean,
want
this
to.
is like QAnon level bullshit,
Yeah.
where you're just like, what? And am I one of those idiots who like believes everything that the government says? Absolutely not.
No. No.
You know, obviously, because they admitted they were lying to us about aliens. Like, who didn't see that coming? I mean, come on. But it's just some of these are just so fucking far-fetched. You're just like, and you're gonna believe that? I mean, this is like up there with lizard people, guys. It's like, what?
Just the effort that it takes to buy into that is exhausting to me. So like, no, look, I have to like let go of so many things before I can buy into your
Right.
conspiracy theory. I'm too tired. I'm sorry. Too
Don't get me wrong. I do like a conspiracy
tired.
just because It's like, ooh, tell me more. But then it's just some of them are just so off the rails. It's like, this is no. But yeah, judging those conspiracy theories and judging those assholes are coming in and wanting to buy everything. And it's like, give them 5 minutes. They
I
just
know.
lost
It's
everything and had to go spend like hours and hours in the ocean so they wouldn't burn.
right.
So y'all
And
need to
they,
calm down,
yeah.
bunch of vultures.
It's awful. But that is an excellent judge because it's shitty. Super,
Is
super
shitty.
shitty.
But anyway, so what are you judging?
Well, I'm glad that you chose that as your judge. It kind of ties in to my judge.
Or does it?
So I'm doing something a little different. Today, instead of I'm judging something, I'm going to, in fact, let Claire judge whether or not
Uh-oh.
I have the bizarre divine ability to cause natural disasters.
What
I
is
know,
this?
so it sounds crazy. So I'm just going to tell you what my last few days have been like, and it's special. Okay, so you were talking about the fires in Hawaii, and one of my friends from California actually was there.
In Hawaii.
She and her husband were there on
Oh,
vacation,
wow.
and the place they were staying was 3 miles away. She sent us pictures. Like, they had no
Oh,
power,
no.
they had no
Wow.
internet. Like, it was bad, it was scary. There's only like one spot on the beach where they could where they got service enough to be able to like text and whatever. And so she was kind of keeping our little group up to date, and we were like, just, oh my God, oh my God, she made it back. She was fine. She was never in danger of the wildfire, thankfully, but she sent us some terrifying pictures, so there's that. But so she was there. She makes it back to California, so that's where she is now. You may know that there is a hurricane currently hitting California for the first time in like 150 years. It might be a tropical storm now, at which point it's the first time in like 85 years, but still. Point being, not super common. Now, I learned about this hurricane a mere hours after I said to Spencer, "Man, it's hurricane season, right? Shouldn't we be getting a hurricane on the East Coast here so that it can move up and we just get like a nice nor'easter, big thunderstorms because we're close to the coast?" And I'm like, "I want the thunderstorms and the nor'easter and I want the weather. I need it. Give me." And he was like, "Yeah, that would be nice." Hours later, we learned about the hurricane that was going to hit LA, which is where we used to live. And so, like, I've been texting my friends about it because they're there and they're trying to prepare for the misery. It's been raining and gross all day. They're not sure whether or not they're supposed to go to work tomorrow. It's a whole thing. But so, I was talking to my mom earlier today, and I was telling her about my friend who had been in Hawaii and the hurricane or whatever. And I was telling her about my comment about a hurricane hitting the East Coast and working its way up to a nor'easter up here, not a full hurricane, just nor'easter. And I said something like, "You know, poor Jackie, she got the hurricane I wanted," or whatever, after our friend who had been in Hawaii. And I was like, she was, and I was telling mom she was in Hawaii. And mom was like, "Oh my God." I was like, "And now she's in LA and they're getting crazy hurricane and whatever." And I said, and she was like, "Well, that's some pretty bad luck because it's been like a week from one natural disaster to another." And I said, "Yeah, all she needs now is an earthquake and a sandstorm to round
Oh
it all out."
no.
I swear to God, it was 30, less than 30 minutes that they had a fucking earthquake. I'm like hanging up the phone with my mom, and I'm getting all these texts from my friends in LA, be like, "And now I had a fucking earthquake in the middle of a hurricane." I'm like, "Oh my God, I did this." I was like, "Guys, beware of a sandstorm. Hashtag sorry."
You
Like, shit.
manifested that shit. Look what
I
you
did,
did.
and I keep, and they were laughing because, I said I was trying to get the nor'easter here, and they said, "You know, wrong address. They forgot you moved." I was like, "It's right. I mean, the post office in White Salmon was absolute garbage, and I hated it with a passion.
Yes,
So it
they
makes
were.
perfect sense that my intentions have been spoken and going to the West Coast instead of here." So. Claire, I
But
leave
they
you to
have, next if
judge.
they have a haboob, then we know.
I'm just saying, guys, I've spoken it. It's if it happens, I'm sorry. Like, I wasn't trying to do this. But the timing was pretty amazing because I had just said that to mom. It couldn't have been 30 minutes later that the
You were
earthquake
getting text message.
happened.
Oh
And
my
then they're like,
gosh.
oh, another fucking earthquake on top of it. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh
That's
my God. Oh my
wild.
God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
What
And
you
Spencer's
did.
just like, no.
Yeah.
But Claire, what do you think? Did I do this? Is this
You're
me?
the drama.
Me? Hi. I'm
You're
the
the drama.
problem. I'm the problem.
You're
It's me.
the drama.
Sorry.
You're
Sorry.
the drama.
Whoops. I did forget that it was called a haboob, so thank you for reminding me of that. Because I knew there was a name, but I hadn't taken the time to look it up.
A haboob. For those of you who want to know what a sandstorm is really called.
Well, and I mean, to be fair, all my friends live in like the Palmdale area, which is in fact desert, so it
That
could
happens.
happen. It could happen.
It's fair.
I mean, why not? So. Sorry,
My
guys.
bad.
Sorry.
Oopsie.
Sorry. I don't think I started the fire. I'll have to watch TikTok to find out if I did. Maybe I'm the government thing. They're testing something.
Maybe.
But I've not felt any arsonist tendencies lately, so I'm pretty
There
sure
you go.
that one wasn't me. I didn't talk about that at all. Had no idea even that my friend was
You
there.
were like, no.
Because I only knew that she was there because she was like, hey, so I'm in Maui right now, and this was.
This is not fun times.
And I was like, oh my God.
This is not fun times.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, so Claire, that's my
Yes.
judge. Well, you're a judge of my life, but either way,
I don't
it
know. I feel like
works.
you're the drama.
So it turns out I, in fact, am the drama. It's me.
It is you.
Cool. Well, there you
All
go. It was
right.
fun. So I guess we need to. Not sure what to say. Get on to it. Crack our knuckles. Crack on in.
Yeah.
Do a whatever.
Get down to brass tacks.
It's time to get down to brass tacks. Claire and I start talking scariest shit ever.
Yeah, see.
Yeah. God.
Shit.
Anyway, so I do go first this week, and I decided to bring you the scariest thing that I have ever experienced. And that, as far as I know, the scariest thing that exists in the whole world, and that is sleep paralysis.
I have never experienced it, so I don't know.
Well, I got some good news and bad news. Good news is that you haven't ever experienced it, so this might not scare the shit out of you. Bad news is me telling you about it may actually trigger it happening in you. So, again,
No, I don't want
apologies
that.
to everyone listening. It could happen to you. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you'll be okay. But
I
I
mean, I know
got.
people who've had it happen and I've heard
Oh.
them talk about it and like
Yeah.
what happens to them. And I'm just like, I've never had that happen to me.
Good for you. I'll give you some tips to try to avoid it,
Okay.
but all I can do. Okay.
Noted.
So, my sources are the Cleveland Clinic. BuzzFeed, I'm sorry. It's
Yeah.
sometimes,
Right.
Rolling Stone, Wikipedia, Medium, and the documentary The Nightmare.
Ooh.
So, what is sleep paralysis? Okay. Well, first let's talk about muscle atonia. When you're falling asleep, or even as you're kind of waking up, your brain sends signals to all the muscles, like in your body, but specifically like arms, legs, to relax so that way when you're in REM sleep, you're not, freaking out and moving around.
Gotcha.
You stay still. But sometimes you can, usually it's related to REM sleep. Sometimes you can be awoken around REM sleep so that you're aware of your surroundings, but the rest of your body hasn't been clued in, so you can't move. So like you're
Okay.
just, it's like you're laying in bed, you find that you're awake, you can look around your room and you can breathe, but like your arms aren't moving, your legs aren't moving, you can't really move a whole lot. They're all asleep still. So it's during this time that some people have sleep paralysis in which they see and or hear things that aren't there outside of these episodes. So
Which is what, when people say sleep paralysis, it's always what I associate with it is that there's something else. Like they either
yeah.
see something in the room with them
They
or.
feel it or they hear
Right.
it.
Yeah.
So it's a question of, hallucination because of being awake, not awake, coming right out of a dream state. Or is it possible that they're seeing stuff that's there and that you just can't see the rest of the time?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I know, right? Typically, it only lasts for a few seconds or a few minutes. It feels much longer in the moment, by the way,
Right, yeah.
but it really isn't lasting that long. So don't panic too hard about it. Now, who tends to get sleep paralysis? The answer is anyone can.
Oh boy.
For most people, it tends to be like very rare or an isolated single event that this has happened for them. So that's also good that most people have that. Some people aren't that lucky. I'm not sure where I fall. I guess mine are somewhat rare. I've had a handful, which we'll go into later, but
It's
I
not
haven't.
often.
It's not like every week or once a month or anything like that. So let's see. Now, if you suffer from sleep deprivation because you have maybe like shift work, so maybe your third shift for a while, but then your second shift, and so your sleep schedule is getting moved around a lot, or maybe you're a college student and you're making a lot of poor life choices because you're a college student. So that makes it more common if you're in that group. And unfortunately, if you have narcolepsy, it can be incredibly common for them as well. So no one knows why it happens. Like the doctors that have done any studies on it or whatever, they don't really understand what's going on outside of physically what's happening. You're waking up at a certain stage and your body's still asleep, but they
But like they
don't
don't know what
know.
causes that to
No.
happen to like okay.
I mean, there is a connection with sleep deprivation, but not, it's not limited to just people who are
Yeah,
sleep
and it's not like
deprived.
the sole cause of it, or yeah.
But they do say that healthy sleep habits do lower your chances of it happening. So have good, healthy sleep habits, guys.
Noted.
Now I'm going to tell you some experience, bleh, tell you some of the experiences that some people have had. So not mine, these are other people. This is where BuzzFeed came in, because that's where you find these kinds of things. But okay. It happens every time I fall asleep on my back. I wake up and I can't tell if my eyes are open or shut, but I can see my whole room. A dark presence is lurking on top of my wardrobe. And as soon as I notice
Ew.
it, I try and scream, but I can't scream and I can't move. The darkness slithers down the side of my wardrobe,
Oh,
across the
God.
floor, and looms over the end of my bed. Then it creeps all over me, trying to invade every orifice. I feel an immense pressure, like it has pinned me down and is pushing its way into my ears, eyes, and mouth. The darkness then screams a terrible screech into my face, and I try to scream back until eventually I manage to jerk my head and everything disappears, and I'm alone in the darkness. It is the most terrifying of experiences.
That sounds like a horror movie. That's awful.
Yes. Yes. I get it every now and then, but I know how to deal with it now. The absolute worst was when I was staying in a hotel with my boyfriend at the time. I remember trying to scream and move anything to get his attention, but nothing I did would make a sound. It was terrifying. Then I got up to tell him what happened, and he bolted upright and strangled me. And then I finally woke up, incredibly shaken, but glad it wasn't real.
Oh,
Honestly, one of the
wow.
scariest situations in my life, and it wasn't even reality. So, like,
Whoa.
you can. It's not limited to just creepy
Right.
presences or whatever. Ugh. Okay. The first time it happened to me was when I went for a nap during the day. I was lying on my side, facing away from my door, when I woke up to the sound of my door closing. I tried to turn around to see who had come into my room, but I couldn't move. My eyes were wide with terror. I could see everything in my room. I heard this thing walk around my room. Then it sat on my bed, and I could feel the bed dip from its weight. It then shuffled toward me, and it felt like it began to spoon me.
Ew.
I was trying to move so hard, but I was just lying still. The thing started breathing on my neck and tickling my back. It then stood up and left after a few minutes. This is the most terrifying thing that has ever happened to me.
Nope, don't like that at all. No, thank you.
Last one that I'll read. I got sleep paralysis a couple of times when I was a kid, but it became really bad in my second year of uni. I would wake up unable to move and feeling something sitting on my chest. It got worse, and when I started to see things, always in the corner of the room, a dark figure I knew was watching me. Sometimes it would whisper things, which of course freaked me out. One time, I was dragged down the bed by this dark figure, unable to stop it, but I managed to force myself to wake up. When we moved out of the house after second year, the sleep paralysis stopped, and I've only had two episodes in the 6 years since. Which makes
Wow.
you kind of wonder, like, well, what was it about that place that made it so frequent and
Right.
so much worse?
Right. That's wild.
So those are just four little quick snippets of what some people experience when they have sleep paralysis. But one of the things that is fairly common are shadow people.
Now, those are what I've heard of. Yeah.
Blech. Now,
No.
what are shadow people, Claire? Well,
Do I want to know? No.
they are shadowy figures that look humanesque. And I'm using human-esque because that's your preferred form of
Yes.
humanoid.
Yes, human-esque.
So they literally look like the shadows of people, but a lot of times people say that they're darker or thicker or something. There's more to them than they're three-dimensional feeling and not two-dimensional
Gotcha.
feeling. Some people claim that the shadow people can jump on you and can choke you and can like hurt you.
Oh, wow.
Other people don't have any kind of interaction like that. There are shadow people in the room, which is creepy AF.
Yeah. All the way around. Yeah.
Blech. So what's interesting about shadow people is, well, one, all of these people across the world are seeing shadow people, but there are also various religions and folklore that have shadow people as part of them that are, that will be like supernatural entities in
Yeah.
some folklore or whatever, and others it's like shades of the underworld coming through. One person that I was reading about believes that. Well, not her specifically, but like there's a group of people that believe that shadow people are actually aliens.
Oh, yeah, I could see
But, they can be repelled in Jesus' name, so it's fine.
that.
Another group thinks that they might be extra-dimensional inhabitants of another universe, which sounds way cooler than what they really are.
Right, yeah.
Because they're terrifying, is what they are.
Indeed.
One of the most common shadow people to be seen, especially by people who have experienced sleep paralysis, is the Hat Man.
Hat man.
Yes. So he is a shadow man, a shadowy man. You can't see his face, you can't make out any features, but what you can tell is that it looks like he has a wide-brimmed hat on.
Okay.
Some people say it looks like he has like a long coat, like a trench coat. Some claim that they have seen him look at a gold watch, which sounds fascinating how you can see gold in the shadows, but what do I know?
Right. Yeah.
But that is super creepy in and of its own because that kind of makes it feel like a lot more time is passing while he's there watching you creepily.
Right. Yeah.
Because he just stands at the foot of your bed and watches you.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I'm
Now,
regretting recording this at night
I know, right?
now.
I know.
Yeah, I'm regretting that decision.
I probably will have problems tonight, but it's fine. It's fine. Now, what's fun is that I discovered that there was a, I don't know if trend is the right word, but for lack of a better word, trend on TikTok to try and turn the Hat Man into sort of the new Slender Man.
Okay.
So there were like TikTok videos talking about the Hat Man saying that he's dangerous and he's managed to leave scratches and marks on people who have seen him. And there was like a whole trend to try and go meet the Hat Man by taking excessive amounts of Benadryl or caffeine for that matter. It's just to
Oh,
like
Lord.
it's to mess up your sleep cycle, I guess,
Right.
in order to get him to appear in your sleep. One of my favorite
Why do you want
ones.
him to appear? No.
Well, why
Why?
do people want Slender Man to appear? I mean,
Or
like,
that? No, nobody wants
it's
any of
that
that.
same crazy.
No, ew.
One of the TikTok videos suggested that the Hat Man might actually be a demon that feeds off of your fear, and I was like, very
Ew.
Monsters, Inc., but okay.
Right.
Take your fear and
He's Randall.
he's Randall.
For Monsters, Inc.
But he looks a little different than the other shadow people. He seems to be darker, more dense than the other ones. And there's claims that he walks or glides through the door when he finally leaves, but rather than just like slowly dissipating like the other shadow people. There's a story that claims a German soldier saw him, was able to ask him who he was, and he
Oh, Lord.
replied, I'm not sure how a shadow man replies, don't care. And apparently replied, Scratch, which is one of the nicknames for the devil himself.
Really? What?
So,
Scratch?
yeah.
I've never heard that.
No, oh, it's very Puritan, like Salem Witch Trial.
Oh, okay.
Kind of time that they referred to him as Scratch. I don't know why.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Another theory is that he's actually the astral projection of someone who's traveling outside of their body that just enjoys terrorizing people. And I'm like, ew, do
Astral
I have to worry
projection
about
also.
astral projection coming to terrorize me? I don't need that.
Right.
I don't need that drama.
No. Astral projection kind of fascinates me a little bit.
Yes, it does. It's also terrifying.
Oh, that too, yes.
Yeah,
Fascinating and terrifying.
but let's see. What I will say is that I have seen the man in the hat. He is one of the things that appears when I have an episode of sleep paralysis.
Ew, gross.
And shadow people in general. I'll tell you more about them at the end, but just hold on to that because that freaks me out in and of itself. So the Kind of the last thing I want to talk about before I talk about my own nightmare experiences to leave you with is the horror documentary called The Nightmare. If you haven't watched it, don't.
Don't.
I mean, like, it's good. Like, they intentionally made a documentary. Like, it
I
is a
think I know
documentary,
what you're
but it has
talking about.
like a horror element to it, and that they reenact the stuff that the people
Yes,
are
I think
telling
I've seen
happens.
this.
And it's, they do use jump scares some, which unnecessary, because like the stuff
Right.
is scary enough. You don't need any additional things. But so in that particular documentary, they talk to, I think it was eight different people who suffered from sleep paralysis like several times. And some of them had suffered from it like since childhood, which
Really?
was the most horrifying thing ever and has made me kind of reevaluate my what I thought was just a bad dream in which a clown came out of the floor in my childhood bedroom in the closet. And that's why I hated clowns. My mom has, it's just, bless her, all the clowns in my bedroom. But like, that's why I kept like everything piled in the floor of my closet, and I suddenly hated clowns. Yeah. But now I'm like, was that maybe sleep paralysis, or was that just a bad dream? I don't really know.
Right.
Just a kid. But so some of them were kids. One of them, which is really horrifying, looked like he was maybe like a 2-year-old. Like, he was still in like a crib. And he remembers aliens coming into his room, to his crib, when he was a tiny baby. Like, it was a sleep paralysis episode. But he remembers it, and he remembered exactly what they looked like, and that they were like static, like on
Yeah.
TV or whatever. They had that staticky look instead of flesh or skin. And I was like, that's horrifying, and I hate that. But so he kept having those experiences, even like as he got older. Like, he had sleep paralysis from basically his entire life.
That's awful.
Another one, which is super creepy, was a little kid, but was probably like 3 or 4, probably 4. And he was standing just watching the TV, waiting for his mom to finish giving his brother a bath. Like, he had just gotten out of the bath, and he was just waiting for her to finish with the baby, I guess. And so he's standing watching TV, and it's just like an old school newscast, except then the news reporter starts talking to him directly and said, "Don't worry, I'll be back for you." And you're like, "The from
Oh,
the kid."
no.
And so, like, he had those kind of experiences since he was a little kid. Whereas another one, he was in college, or maybe like early 20s, like he was in his 20s. I don't remember if he's college or like right after college, but one of his friends or acquaintances said, "Hey, have you ever heard of sleep paralysis? And he goes, "No." And so his friend is telling him his experiences with sleep paralysis and what happens, and he was like, "Dude, that's awful." And that night he goes home and he has his very first episode of sleep paralysis. And then he had it, like, bad, bad. Has it, I guess. I assume they're all still alive, but it's a slightly older documentary, what, 2015 maybe. But he had never heard of it, and as soon as he heard of it, then he had his first episode. And so it's not necessarily like it starts when you're a kid and you have it forever. It just can happen. What was really cool or weird about the eight people, because they walk you through all their horrifying things, which are terrible. Don't watch them. Don't watch it. I also watched that before I went to bed and was like, this was a bad idea. But they all kind of processed it differently, like what it really is. Because again, they go to the doctor and the doctor's like, "Well, we don't really know. It's, just sleep better. Do healthier things." And they're like, "Ugh." So one of them talked about they thought what it really was a connection to another dimension or another reality. that they're able to, in that state, perceive it that we can't perceive during the, our for real wakeful time.
Right.
One of them thought that what he had been experiencing might actually be like angry ghosts that he can only, only see in that
Right.
time. So I'm like, what? My favorite one thought it was demons and that only Jesus could save her because she had not been religious at all, and then like she was having a particularly bad one and just was like, oh my God, what do they do in movies? Oh, in Jesus' name. And she's like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Horrible nightmare demon thing happening to her. And so that, I guess she woke up after that. And so she became a Christian because she thinks
Okay.
Jesus has saved her somehow from a demon in her sleep. Another one was super scientific about it and was like, this is what's happening in your brain and da 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 da. And science explains things. And I'm going, I like you. That's I can go to sleep with that. But the guy who got it as an adult after talking to his friend who had told him about sleep paralysis for the first time, he thinks that sleep paralysis is actually kind of like an STD. It's like you don't experience it until someone tells you about it, or you find out about it, or like it what something happens and that's what it is.
So it's like
Because
the movie It Follows. Is that what
it
we're saying?
was. And I think he might have mentioned that in his interview. He's like, it's
Oh,
kind of like
God.
that because he told a friend about his experience suddenly having sleep paralysis, and they had never heard of sleep paralysis. And the very next day, he got a text from the friend being like, what the fuck did you do to me? They had sleep paralysis. So he was like, oh God, I told someone and it gets passed on. And I'm like, ew, ew, ew. The only contemporary thing I can think of that kind of portrays what sleep paralysis is like is The Haunting of Hill House. When Nell, as an adult, or actually every time she sees the bent neck lady, she's having sleep paralysis. She can't move, she can only see and breathe, and it freaks her out. But like you see her when she's an adult, like she's laying in bed and she's seeing bent neck lady and she's trying to wake up and she's trying to like move. She's focusing on moving a finger. Because that's apparently the only thing you can do is if you are experiencing it and you're able to process this is not, this is a sleep paralysis episode, you're supposed to try and focus all of your effort on just like moving one thing, like moving one finger, because that will help you wake up so that you can break
Oh,
out of
okay,
it.
gotcha.
But as I said previously, I've had a few experiences with sleep paralysis. My migraine medicine, actually, when I take it because I have a migraine, is pretty likely to trigger sleep paralysis, so I try not to take it, or at least not high
A lot,
doses.
yeah.
The very first time it happened, I remember being, I mean, I was probably high as a kite, honestly, because I'd had like the worst migraine I think I'd ever had in my entire life. Like I remember the ceiling fan was moving air and that hurt. Just the movement of the
Okay.
air. Like I cannot think of a pain greater than that pain. Like I took too much knowing that I might not wake up and was very comfortable with that because that's how miserable it was.
Wow.
But that's the one of the first ones that I remember having. And I saw all these bright colors everywhere. And there is a hippo with a tutu. Just like prancing around. Like it wasn't scary. Like looking back, there were definitely like shadow people kind of in the background, but
Right.
like they were an audience almost, like a way with, and it was not a scary bad experience. I remember waking up being like, that was fucking weird. Cause
Right.
like they were all in my room. But subsequently, I've had a few more. I think I've had maybe five or six different times that it's happened. They were mostly just like shadow people. I specifically saw the man in the hat with, with the hat, and I remember being puzzled, but again, I wasn't scared for the first like couple that I had because I was like, oh, I'm just, it's the migraine medicine, because it's always been when I've t had to take, more than just one dose of like a when it's a really bad migraine. So whether it's the medicine or the migraine, I don't know. But I didn't really worry too much about it until I was hanging out with my friend David, who we were in a show together and we were hanging out just having a good time. And he was telling, we were talking about something and he said something about shadow people. And I was like, wait, what? And so I found out about the shadow people that he sees. I think he, I don't know, I guess it was sleep paralysis is how he started talking about it. And I was like, oh my God, that happens to me. I get sleep. I didn't even know that's what it was. Had no word for it. Just was like, I'm hallucinating from my medication, is what I assumed. And so when he's telling me about it, and then he starts talking about the man with the hat, and I'm like, holy fuck, what, you see that very specific guy too? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, it's like lots of people see him. And I remember like, holy fuck, wait, what? Because the thought of seeing just generic shadow people, fine, like whatever. But that multiple people see the man with that hat, like it's the same thing. Like we're all pulling that. That made me really uncomfortable. And then the very next time that it happened, it was terrifying. He was scary. I was hearing something calling my name down the hallway, and I couldn't turn my head to look, and it kept going, April, April, April. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm home alone. No one lives here but me. The scariest fucking shit that's ever happened. And there's a creepy shadow man at the foot of my bed. And I'm like, everything's bad. Ugh. So, nothing more terrifying than thinking you're home alone, seeing a shadowy outline at the foot of your bed, and hearing a creepy voice calling your name over and over. Bleh.
Indeed.
There you have it. That is sleep paralysis and the nightmare that is sleep paralysis. And I'm sorry if I gave you guys sleep paralysis.
That sounds like no fun at all.
Especially since apparently I cause earthquakes and maybe hurricanes. Saying.
Yeah, that sounds like no fun at all.
Just don't turn out your lights tonight.
Yikes. I know, I'm just like, ew. I'm gonna go to sleep now.
Shadow people. All right. Well, Claire, what horrific thing have you brought us for scariest shit ever?
Well, mine's not much better. I'm gonna be talking about the disappearance and death of Scotty Baker.
Oh, God. Well, I know I'm literally
And
the only other person in the world who knows this story, so.
probably because this happened close to where we're from, and actually, the killer is from our hometown. So, hooray!
Yay for hometown.
Right. This one hits close to home a little bit. So, my sources, I got it from Times Tribune, WYMT.com, Sentinel Echo, Lexington Herald Leader, and LA Times, oddly enough. So, all right. November 25th, 1992, which was the day before Thanksgiving that year. So keep in mind, April and I were 8 when this happened. Well, I was 8, she was 9 when this happened. 10-year-old Scotty Baker, he was in 5th grade, was checked out of Paces Creek Elementary School in Manchester, Kentucky. It's in Clay County. It's a county over from Laurel County, which is where.
Where my entire family is from, Manchester, all of
Yes.
them.
All of April's family. She would go there all the time to Clay County for holidays. Yep. Anyway, Clay County is like the next county over from Laurel County. They share a border. So, But like I said, this was the day before Thanksgiving. He was signed out by a woman named Patricia Smith. She told the office that she was there to pick Scotty up to take him to see his father for the holiday because his father, whose name was Donald Baker, was a truck driver. And she claimed the secretary had her fill out and complete the sign out form, and claimed on the form that she was a cousin of Scotty and Donald Baker. And the secretary didn't ask for any ID because it appeared that Scotty knew her. And so Scotty left with this Patricia Smith and was never seen alive again. All because he was checked out by somebody who was not on his checkout form. Which, this to me is all one facet of why this is terrifying to me. There are other things that went on also that are also, as I vaguely remember this as a child, like
Oh,
this
I
afternoon.
vividly remember. Vivid. It was,
I
I
feel like
mean,
mom and dad tried to like, I feel like there were certain things that mom and dad tried to like keep us from hearing about.
well, it was also, I mean, it was the Clay County thing. I assume it got talked about a lot, a lot.
Right. And with your mom
I mean, my
working at,
mom at that point was teaching in Clay County, so.
yeah. So yeah, with your mom working at Clay County High School, yeah. So, but so Scotty's parents were Donald Baker and Ruth Rose. Scotty was born February 17th, 1982. Donald and Ruth were divorced by this point when he was abducted. Both parents were really close to Scotty, and they had a, I guess, a pretty good co-parenting relationship. They had, you know, split custody. So Scotty did spend a lot of time with his dad when he could, with his dad being a truck driver. And when they did spend time together, they would do, you know, a lot of activities together. It wasn't just like, they didn't describe Donald as a passive parent, but they would go and do things together. Donald in 1982 had recently remarried a woman named Stephanie Spitzer. He was 33, she was 22 at the time.
Damn.
Yeah, they met in August of 1991 and they were married on Valentine's Day of 1992.
Okay.
So, not a very long courtship there. And Scotty was in the wedding, of course. Donald noticed that Stephanie, his new wife, seemed jealous and resentful of Scotty and the time that Donald would spend with him. And she also wasn't a fan of how much time Donald was away for work truck driving. And I'm thinking, you probably should have thought of that before you got married. Like, did you not know that? I mean, obviously, you had to have known he had a child from a previous relationship when you got married. You knew what his job was. Why did you sign up for that?
She believes she could change him.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so on November 25th, 1992, Ruth, Scotty's mom, was going to surprise Scotty by picking him up a little bit early from school, but when she got there, Scotty wasn't at school. She thought his grandmother had had him, or that he had gotten on a bus and gone to his grandmother's house because he did that sometimes. So she just assumed that her mother had Scotty. So she left and went to work at Walmart. And then around 7 p.m., Ruth's mother called her asking if she had picked up Scotty, because Scotty wasn't on the bus and she didn't have Scotty and nobody knew where Scotty was. So that's when Ruth reported Scotty missing. It was around 7 p.m. the day that he left with Patricia Smith. So you lost some hours there. I don't know if that would have made a difference, but So Stephanie Spitzer, the stepmom, who is Stephanie Spitzer Baker, she was a graduate of Laurel County High School in Linden, Kentucky,
Ooh, back in
where
the
she was,
old days.
I know, she was a member of a club called Teens Who Care.
Well, I mean, she's not a teen anymore, so I guess that's fine.
Yeah, I guess. She wanted to be a teacher, and she was a member of Community Christian Church.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
She would complain often to her bestie, Suzanne Baker, who is of no relation to Donald and Scotty Baker. She would complain about Scotty and Donald's relationship. She would complain about Donald's job, all the things. Because, you know, that's what besties do.
That I
They
mean
vent.
that's what besties are for, to be like,
Right.
what everything.
So, right before the abduction, Stephanie confided in Suzanne that she was pregnant. And when she told Donald, he didn't seem terribly thrilled about the news. So, it was like,
Okay.
I know. So, Ruth, back on, just a little background about the stepmom there. Ruth wound up calling Scotty's school that night, I guess, and was told about Patricia Smith checking Scotty out of school. So she called Donald asking if he had Scotty, and he said no. Then she called the police to officially report him missing. And at that point, both parents started accusing each other for taking Scotty and hiding him, because that's
Divorce,
what
right.
happens with the divorce thing. But while this is going on, they both are searching for him, making TV appearances, pleading for Scotty's return. Even Stephanie went to help man a tip line for any info on Scotty's whereabouts. So everybody was trying to find Scotty. Both Donald and Ruth eventually took lie detector tests, which they passed with flying colors. And in their interviews, Donald revealed to the police the thing about Stephanie, her being jealous and resentful of his relationship with Scotty. And so, because of that, the police brought in Stephanie next for questioning. And she told him that her alibi that she claimed that she'd been doing laundry with Suzanne when Scotty had been abducted. And she fed him this whole thing, hook, line, sinker, and they seemed like they believed her. Like she had a very believable story, but they were like, we still want to give you a lie detector test. And she failed it. And the police were kind of confused because she had a very convincing story, what she told them. And one of the police said she was the best liar they had ever seen. And I'm just like, that's terrifying. And so, because they're like, oh, well, she's told us one thing, but the lie detector test was way off. So they went and picked up Suzanne. Suzanne at this time was in Florida, but they got the police in Florida to pick her up. And she told the same story as Stephanie, but it was almost verbatim,
Right.
like
Which
word
is
for
not.
word. Yeah. And so that was like red flags all over the place. And so they gave Suzanne a lie detector test, and she failed with flying colors. And so when they pressed Suzanne, she finally broke down and told the entire terrible truth of what happened to Scotty. And this is where this turned into some of the scariest shit ever for
Yeah.
me. So the plan was that, or what Suzanne said, is that Stephanie wanted to scare Scotty into not seeing his dad anymore.
Okay.
That was the plan.
That's a stupid thing, all right?
Yeah, it was. Because she wanted Scotty out of the picture. So they were wanted to scare Scotty bad enough to say, I don't want to go to my dad's house anymore. So she talks Suzanne into wearing a disguise. And so she wears this wig into the school. And that was just in case she ran into anybody who knew her, like Ruth. the mom.
Right.
So Suzanne goes into this school with a wig, and she's pretending to be Patricia Smith. And so she took Scotty and she got into the car, and Stephanie was hiding in the back seat. And so when they drive off, she drives a little ways, and then Stephanie was like hiding under some clothes and some stuff on piled on top of her in the back. And so after they drive a little bit, while Suzanne is still driving, Stephanie pops up from the back seat and grabs Scotty by his shirt and like pulls it and starts strangling him and eventually kills him in the car while they're driving. And afterwards, they drive his body to like a strip mine quarry that's like, it says like 8 miles outside of London. It was still in Laurel County. And they burned his body. So they doused it with gasoline and buried it in a shallow grave. And I'm just like, that's excessive.
Yes.
All because you wanted to scare a 10-year-old child because you were jealous of him. You were 22 fucking years old. Like, get over yourself. I just, this whole story to me is
It's
like,
insane and awful to me.
it is. Like, I'm just
But
like, you are 22 and you are jealous of a 10-year-old child. Like, what is wrong with you?
Well, the thing that I've always found bizarre is that is the wig thing. Like,
Right.
you're worried that you're gonna run into someone who might know you, so you put on a wig, and I'm like, they're still gonna recognize your face,
Right.
dummy. Like,
And it was
whatever.
weird because the secretary does say, like, I guess in police statements and stuff like that, that she knew that this woman was wearing a wig. But it's one of those things where it's like, I guess other people have worn wigs, so you don't want to assume, you know, they could be a cancer patient
Right.
or
You don't know
could
why
have.
they're wearing it.
Exactly. You don't want to be like, hey, you're wearing a wig. Why? You know, it's one of those things. So the secretary didn't think too much of it with the whole, you know, because she said, obviously, I could tell she was wearing a wig, but I didn't say anything, you know, that kind of thing. So after her statement to the police about what happened to Scotty, Suzanne was arrested in Florida, and her statement helped lead authorities to Scotty's body. And on December 2nd, 1992, his body was found with his backpack still strapped to him, but it was all burned in this rock strip mine. And then on December 18th, 1992, both Stephanie and Suzanne were arraigned for Scotty's murder. Suzanne was charged with reckless homicide, kidnapping, and abuse of a corpse. And Stephanie was charged with murder, kidnapping, and abuse of a corpse. Suzanne's statement to the police was basically seen as a confession. And so she was convicted on all her charges, and sentenced all of it together was 25 years. I think one was like 25 years, one was 5 years, and that was to be cons was served consecutively. And then one was like, I think the abuse of a corpse was 12 months, but they said that could just go concurrently in with it, so it was 25 years total. Stephanie wound up just pleading guilty to all her charges, and she was sentenced 25 to life, and she could be up to for parole in 2017. While all this was going down, I guess her lawyer was hoping for some kind of leniency. I don't know. But he claimed that she was abused by Donald, so that's why she killed Scotty. And I'm
No.
like, make that make sense.
No. No.
I feel like if you're abused by, you're not going to kill a child.
No.
Like that didn't, I was like, that does not
Like
make.
you're gonna kill him, maybe, but not
Not
the
the
child that has nothing to do
child.
with it.
Right. It's like, what? No. Why? Suzanne wound up being released in 2008 for good time credits, which means she took college classes, Got a degree, good behavior, that kind of thing. So she served 15 of the 25 years for that. Stephanie wound up having a son because remember I told you she was pregnant. So she had a son in prison, which was adopted by her parents. She wound up getting a degree in divinity and Bible studies
Oh my God.
while she's in prison.
Why the heck not?
Which meanwhile, this past like yesterday, as in Saturday, my boyfriend, who used to work at the correctional facilities in LaGrange, took me on the prison tour after we ate dinner in LaGrange. So I got to see the prisons for the men and the women. So I have now driven past the prison in Pee-wee Valley that houses the women, the correctional facility that houses these women that were in, that one of them is still in prison and one used to be. So I'm like, oh, that's nice. Hooray. But
Wow.
anyway, apparently she also got married. Couldn't find anything that said if she's still currently married to whoever she got married to in prison, because obviously she and Donald got divorced. Let's see. Yes. She was up for parole in 2017. She said the day of, like, her account of what happened was that when they were in the car and driving, that Suzanne removed her wig and that scared Scotty and he was freaking out. And so he tried to jump out of the car while it was moving. And so she grabbed his shirt by the collar to keep him in the car. And then that's what strangled him, that she did not
Wow.
intentionally want to kill him.
Well, that's bullshit.
100%. Because in the investigation, Donald wound up turning over her journals, diaries, whatever you want to call them. And there were so many pages in there of her writing about this kid,
Wow,
about
yeah.
how she was jealous and she wanted to get rid of him and get him out of their lives. And so after Donald read that, he was like, she wanted to get rid of him from day one. You know, like, it wasn't like this was not a progressive thing. Like, it was from the get-go. Like, she, whether she wanted to kill him or find a way to get Donald to like push him out, whatever, like, that was her goal, was to get rid of Scotty. And I'm just like, this is terrible. Like, how, what? But anyway, so she's trying to say that she didn't initially intend to kill him, that it was semi, I don't even know if she's trying to say it's semi an accident, but regardless. She did say that she made a terrible mistake in her youth. And she even said that she didn't need to be released at her own parole hearing. So,
Wow, okay.
but they denied it, and said that she must serve her full life sentence, whatever that is. So,
Oh, okay.
Donald Baker wound up filing a civil suit against Clay County Board of Education and the secretary. Because there were certain things in the handbook that stated procedures and how to check out children, but they weren't, from what I understood, they weren't like totally countywide. It was, they weren't like across the board as far as like the procedures, and it wasn't totally like everywhere yet as far as like what you needed, how these procedures went, and because Clay County, Manchester, you know, that area, it's one of those where everybody knows everybody, kind
Everybody
of,
knows
you're
everybody.
related to everybody. It's one of those places that a lot of these procedures were kind of like overlooked. And so the case against the secretary was dropped really quickly. And then ultimately the one against the school board was dropped. However, all of this caused schools to tighten up their checkout policies. And this case right here is one of the reasons that now it's like you are not allowed to give a child to anybody who is not on their pre-approved list. Because at the time, even if somebody was not on the list, a parent could call ahead and say, oh, so and so is coming to check out my child, as long as the parent, but now it's like, no, if the person's not on the list and they don't have their ID, like, no go. So this case right here was one of the ones that kind of changed checkout policies in the state for
Well,
checking out children out of schools.
I vividly remember that, because that happened right before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I vividly remember that sometime after we got back from Thanksgiving and before we left for
For
Christmas break,
Christmas
so like
break.
a 2 week period of time, that we all had to bring home a brand new card, and it was like all this paperwork, and we had to have it our parents fill it out. I don't know if they had it already or what, but like it was a different card, 'cause now they required like they had to have your driver's license number and everything. So like I remember it. I also remember that Scotty Baker became like an urban legend. You know, it was a whole like in elementary school, because we knew bits and pieces of what happened, but ultimately he was kidnapped and he was strangled, but then in our version he had been dismembered, and then he had been burned, and then taught like all these like everything that could possibly happen happened. And you know, obviously he was like a ghost and he would haunt us or whatever. Like it was a whole thing. But I absolutely remember when that happened. It's a big deal. Because he was our age.
Yes, and to me, that is why it was some of the scariest shit ever, is because this was, we were kids. This was a kid who was like 2 years older than me, a year older than April. You know, this kid was basically like same age as us. And to hear those, like you said, hear the stories about some kid getting kidnapped at school, you know, just because somebody came and checked him out of school. And it's like, then it was, you know, don't go with anybody that you don't know, or even like almost got to like, don't go with anybody who's not your parents. You know, it was one of those things. It's like, know who is on your checkout card that your parents wrote on your card. Like, you need to know who's on that card, and don't try to like go with anybody else. You know, they were serious about that when we were kids. Like, you know, because I would have been in third. Yeah, I was in third grade. So yeah, it was very, yeah, terrifying at the time. You know, you hear about this kid who's the same age as you that gets kidnapped, and like she said, you hear it, you know, becomes the stuff of urban legends. I mean, still, he did get strangled. His body was burned. Granted, the dismembering thing didn't happen, but you know, things get sensationalized with
I was gonna
kids and
say,
stuff
he
like
also was
that.
in a
But
barrel, and the barrel was put in the river. Like it was a whole, it was what little kids do when they don't grasp the gravity of what's really happening. 'Cause I didn't know him, thankfully, but I mean, it's very close, about as close as you can get, Clay County,
Yes.
all the
And the
time.
fact that the killer was from our hometown and went to church across the street from us. So, anyway, yeah, to me, I think that's why it was like,
It
you
is
hearing it
scary.
now is probably not the scariest shit ever, but for us as
Oh,
children, it was
but
the scariest shit ever. And
it
as an
is still.
adult, but as a parent, I feel like that could be some of the scariest shit ever. Like, you go to pick up your child and they're not at school because somebody pick them up and check them out without your knowledge, you know,
Well,
and then you
and that
can't find them.
it turns out to be, you know, one of that turns out to be like your spouse's wife, you know, that's, or it
Somebody
turns out
that
to
your
be
kid.
your wife, or what, that it turns out to be someone that you are like, well, but what, how, why? Like, I thought they loved him, you know, why would we let this person in our lives? They didn't love our child, kind of a thing. So.
Like somebody who's supposed to want to take care of the child. Like, this wasn't really wasn't some kind of stranger danger, which was a whole thing back then, you know, when really most of the time it is
Never a
somebody who the,
stranger.
yeah, I mean, 9 times out of 10 it's not, you know, that really was somebody who was supposed to take care of this child and, you know, love and nurture this child, and did not have the mental capacity to do it. So I mean, that's why that's some of the scariest shit ever. Like,
I
hear you all
agree.
hearing this now, you're probably like, that's nothing. And I'm like, no.
No,
Understand the
just
context of like when
like
this happened.
hold on to it, let it settle, and you know, don't worry. Tonight at about 3 in the morning, when you're suffering from sleep paralysis
Right.
and you see the mutated body of a child, you're gonna be like, oh, you're right, that actually was the scariest shit ever. You're
Right.
right, you're right. Okay.
Like imagine being 8, 9 years old and hearing about a kid who's like right down the road from you, who,
Yeah, well,
that's
and
to us was it was a big deal in the area. It was like, oh, this
huge,
is
huge. Well, and then that,
yes.
you know, he ultimately was found in Laurel County, so
Right.
yeah, it's all a bit too close to home.
It is. So anyway, that's my scariest shit ever story because
Excellent.
I remember that one bothering me as a child.
Yeah. Excellent, Claire. Excellent. I'm glad you chose that one. That's a good one.
Yay.
Well, let's see. That
Well, because we
means
almost landed on true crime, and
it's
I
true.
probably would have done this one anyway
On
had we landed on true
true
crime.
crime.
Yeah. But then I was like, that one is also terrifying to me. So I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, there you go. All right, time for this week's sweary affirmation.
Yay.
You are a straight up gift to humanity.
I love that.
Yes, you are. Never let anyone tell you otherwise. You're
Right.
amazing.
Like, I am a fucking delight. Thank you.
That's right. All right. It must be time for Tarot Time with April. Spooky, spooky. All right, Claire.
Yes.
Tell me when to stop. Let's see. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetops. When the wind blows,
Oh,
the
gosh.
cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come, baby, cradle and all. It's the only sleeping
Right.
child
Stop.
freaking song I can think of.
Stop.
Ah. All right. What do the cards have in store for us this week? Well, we're starting the week with the Nine of Swords inverted.
Uh-oh.
Then we're going with the Seven of Pentacles.
Seven of Pentacles.
And ending with the Six of Pentacles, which I'm pretty sure is the generosity card. It's been popping up lately. Do, do. The Nine of S Words. The Nine of Swords inverted. Oh, okay. When you read reversals, please be sure you don't just assume that they're the opposite of the reading. Sometimes they're a deepening of the upright court card, and that's the case in the Nine of Swords. This is the card for depression,
Oh.
not sadness. Depression.
Okay.
So that's great. Interestingly, the non-inverted, the regular form of this card, says that this card is about anxiety and sleeplessness. So that makes sense, by the
Yeah.
way. So maybe it, so instead of it being depression, it's actually really extreme anxiety and sleeplessness. It's called sleep paralysis. And I'm sorry that this is happening to you who are listening. Please feel free to send us an email telling me how horrible I am. I will read it and I will probably send an apology. Maybe not. You never know.
Maybe
Right.
not.
Oh, and then, okay. Then it's the Seven of Pentacles. Oh, yep. The Seven of Pentacles is the little red hen. So we're just gonna start doing some hard work again. So
Okay,
that's
yeah.
good. We're gonna do our hard work and then we're gonna be generous with our hard work. So other than the fact that you're having sleep paralysis at the beginning of this week, it gets better. So it'll be okay. It'll be okay. So there you have it. So I guess, Claire, let's see what's on our Wheel of Fate.
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here goes nothing. What's it gonna be?
Oh,
History.
history.
History. Thank you, Brandon,
All right.
for history. It's cool. I'll come up with a historical thing.
Sweet, sweet.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
History. That could be anything.
I know it's kind of nice, really.
I know when you get
Appreciate
such a
those. I
broad
yeah, I can be
topic,
like,
you're like,
okay,
oh.
all right. But anyway, okay. Well, I guess you'll just have to join us next week as we talk history, and not sleep paralysis, unless I find someone in history who had sleep paralysis, and then sorry, it keeps going and
Right.
going. But anyway, until next time, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at.
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, subscribe, comment, etc., etc. And you can send us any topics that you have for our wheel or any stories you'd like us to specifically cover or to yell at me about the sleep paralysis demons that are haunting you
Brunch
at night. You can do that by writing to us at.
and Judge at gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
Bye. Say
Bye.
hello to the Hat Man.
Ew, no.